I can't remember any time that Yogi Roth hasn't been rolling. He joins us now. Here's a guy who, of course, does great work with the Pac-12 networks in studio, out of studio, on the road, at Yogi Roth on Twitter. A great follow, and appreciate your taking a few minutes to join us here on TK in the Midday on ESPN 700 in Salt Lake City. Welcome, Yogi.
That was amazing.
Oh, okay.
I apologize.
That's okay. That's, you know how it is. It's scary when you think you're on a roll and you go, and then there's, you know, did I insult him? I haven't even talked to him yet.
Well, no, it was a glitch in the satellites up in the sky.
Exactly. One of those radio moments. Well, again, appreciate you taking a few minutes here. So, correct me where I'm wrong, but the Utes are, at least right now, the darling of the Pac-12, right? I mean, you knew UCLA was going to be good. But what Utah did at Autzen and 4-0 has elevated them into a status. I mean, they may not continue this role, but they also might. And I think nationally, people are starting to say, hey, these guys might be really good.
Yeah, no, they're good. I mean, you're right. They're totally the darlings of the conference. And I can remember at Media Day this past summer in late July, when you talk to any coach in the Pac-12, specifically the South, and say, what team don't you want to play? The answer was always Utah, because they're really well coached. They have a unique style, right? You know, Stanford is a pro style, punch you in the face type of team. Utah is a very physical team defensively, but offensively they'll spread you out. So it's kind of like they get a little bit of everything. And what I love about them, honestly, is that they've stuck to their identity. I mean, this is who they've been. From a philosophical standpoint, from the day Kyle Whittingham took the job 11 years ago. And this year we get to see it with the drive from such a unique perspective.
Right.
You see the little things of this program, how important they are. And I'm fired up for them, man. I really am, because they've built this thing since they've entered the Pac-12.
Well, the drive, I'm glad you hit that, because I was going to get to that. That has really, for Ute fans who, you know, we think that, you know, the Utah Nation thinks they're close to their team, but they don't get this kind of access. They don't see the kind of things that you're bringing in to people's living rooms and into their computers for them to watch anytime they want. What aspect of the drive do you think is the most successful element?
That's a good question. I think that what we do, or what we hope to do, is just tell the truth. You know, every single week, honestly, like that's it. And when we meet with coaches, I can remember sitting in, you know, the staff room with Kyle Whittingham last spring and talking about this series and saying exactly that. You know, all we want to do is showcase what's accurate. You know,
but coaches, you know, don't necessarily want the truth out there, and I don't mean that in a bad way. I just mean they like to lock up information.
Yeah, no, you're right. But I think Utah specifically, after the offseason they had, you know, it was as bad of an offseason, you know, from a standpoint, as any, right? You lose your defensive coordinator. The head coach is perceived to be unhappy. You know, you need coordinators on both sides of the ball again. What's going on there? And that wasn't the truth, you know, of the place being in shambles. It wasn't that at all.
So right.
To me, I think Kyle Whittingham, and you see it in the series, he's so straight business. You know, he's got a great personality. He's a fun-loving guy, but he is cutthroat, just like he's never missed a workout in the last 7 years, just like the way that they practice and the regiments they go through, what they call the process. He has a way about him, and I don't think that gets told. You know, you think of Utah from the national picture, and you think of Urban Meyer, probably.
Right.
You think of, you know, maybe Alex Smith. You think of a team, oh, yeah, they got hot a couple of years when they were not in a Power 5 stop. You never really get to know who these guys are and the way they built it. And to me, that's to me what I'm most proud of every time. You know, I see the rough cuts and then get to voice it over every Tuesday and then get to watch people, especially your guys' fans on social, go through the process because they love their team so much. And I think, you know, the stadium is the most underrated place to play. I think it's one of the hardest, if not the hardest place to play in the Pac-12. Everything about the fan base, from football to gymnastics, to me at Utah, is an amazing example of what collegiate sports should be. So I love this show, just telling that truth, because I don't think that story's out there enough.
No, I agree. You also need to do your own sort of Pac-12 sports science about Kyle's calves. Those calf muscles, they're legendary, and there needs to be more done about them, in my opinion.
But we started the whole series off with a shot of his cat. Just saying, you know.
All right, what happened at Autzen? I mean, was that a combination of a, you know, obviously everybody knew Oregon was going to struggle and that, you know, a lot was put on Vernon Adams and, you know, it's hard to throw with a finger and everyone, you know, knew the Utah was pretty good. And but how do you explain what happened?
Well, I think that, number one, Oregon, they've never been in that situation before, right, where somebody comes in and gets going on them, and all of a sudden at halftime they're down, you know, three scores or more. And I've been on the other side of that. You know, we were at SC when I was coaching. We were kind of like Oregon, you know, really dominant. And it's hard when you bring in recruits that don't know about the climb to get there, and they don't know about the struggle to get there. They just know about the standard that's there. And I think that the truth of Oregon showed up a little bit from, you know, an average tackling team. They would admit that. Obviously, as you mentioned, when their offense isn't clicking and they can't be accurate in the throw game, they're going to struggle. And they went up against a team that's going to challenge that. You know, their front seven of Utah collectively is as good as it's been, in my opinion, in the Pac-12. You know, they've had bigger stars the last couple of years with Lotulelei a couple of years ago, with obviously last year with the defensive end, Nate Orchard. But collectively, I think their front seven is the strongest it's been. And then the back end, that's what blew my mind. When I saw them in training camp, it was, oh, look out, because they can play man coverage. They can play that cover four, two high safety, down near the box style of defense they want to play. And not have to bring a ton of pressure, but just be really sound. And that's what they're always going to be, and they had the players. That's when I knew they were going to be good on defense. And that was obvious. And offensively, I honest to God believe that one of the biggest keys this year is Aaron Roderick. I really believe that, because he's the guy who's been there with Travis throughout his whole career. And Travis has said it 100 times, he's the most resilient player in all of college football, in my opinion. He had to go through four coordinators, four different position coaches. So you're winning over a coach, you're winning over a side of the ball, you got to learn an offense, and you're injured. And, oh, by the way, the game practically gets taken away from you due to injury, and you bounce right back. So to me, like, he defines no flinch attitude. And to have him and Aaron Roderick now, two guys that have kind of been through it together, you know, all the ups and downs and new faces on that side of the ball, is allowing him to flourish. And Aaron, and you saw it in the last episode, he's hard on him, but they have a cool bond. And you'll see that relationship evolve over the series of the drive. But to me, that is such a not talked about factor, at least on a big, you know, national stage, is that type of symbiotic relationship where, okay, he's our guy. Travis totally has the keys to this car. Let's let him rip, because he's a gamer. He's shown up in big games, and he's not going to complete 75% of his passes, I don't think, ever, but he's going to complete them when he needs to. And that's something he's done since he was a freshman.
Yeah, I love that no-flinch attitude, because that's what I'm finally seeing from him. I did see a guy who was in pain from the first snap. I didn't realize he was in that much pain. I didn't. Maybe they didn't shoot it up or whatever, but he was grimacing from the jump, and still did what they did. And now moving forward, you know, it seems like things are in, they're in a bye. You know, they probably want to keep going, but they can always make the bye work for them. Cal comes in, Arizona State comes in. In 2 weeks, they could have, understanding they still have USC at the Coliseum, and then they still have to go to Arizona, and they still have UCLA here. But they could have a stranglehold on the South if they can take care of business with Cal and Arizona State, because everybody else is knocking each other off. And now, you know, Solomon has a concussion. I want to ask you about that too. And I mean, there is a path here that's doable.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, I think the bye is the perfect time for them.
I think it brings their heads down a little bit, because they might have gotten a little bit, you know, this is a great opportunity for them to deflate that head right now.
You're exactly right. I mean, and I think their head should be pumped up a little bit, to be really honest. You know, this is a team that, I mean, look at what they've done, man. I mean, it's absolutely amazing. Like, they should walk around campus with their chest out a little bit. And I think having this bye is going to be great, because you get to do that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, no matter how much the coaching staff is saying, we get back to work. They're still kids. So go have fun. Get a couple days off. Have a great weekend. You know, be smart, be safe, but enjoy college. And now, all right, now let's get back to work. And I think the bye is perfect, because Cal is a team that all of a sudden can put up 28 points. And I believe Utah, that's still going to be an issue for them. If they get down early, Their ability to
right.
to have to change an offense and get explosive in a throw game is the one weakness for them.
And Cal's defense is better than we thought, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, I've had them a couple weeks ago. I got them again this week. Just got done watching film. They're not great, but they're much better. You know, they're in the right position. They're trying to make plays. They're okay in the front seven, and they're going to struggle stopping the run. But their offense, Jared, to me, there's two guys in the country right now that are must-see football, and one's Aaron Rodgers, and one's Jared Goff with quarterback position.
Wow.
I will watch every snap of those guys playing. And
wow.
Not only because they're from the same college, but because of how gifted they are from an anticipatory standpoint, where they can place the ball, their command of these systems. So, you know, that's a scary one, you know, to be honest. You got to just run the ball and take away offensive possessions with, you know, the way they control the clock
right.
and really be physical at the line of scrimmage with the receivers, because Goff gets it out. He gets it out, I think, second fastest in the Pac-12 in terms of, you know, catch,
yep.
getting the rock out of his hand.
Well, it's also great because, again, Goff will come in with Cal, and he'll be the story, and the Utes will be laying in the weeds, and they'll be hearing about him all week, and this guy's this and that, and their DBs are going to be waiting. They all want to get a pick, and don't you think there's another perfect setup for them, because they'll come in, and Goff will be the one sort of riding the wagon of publicity, even though everyone knows Utah is 4-0, but still, there's a little bit of a chip they can work on. The coaches will work on that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, let's just look at Utah's schedule. They're in the big games, the quote-unquote big games, they're not going to be ever huge favorites. You know, they're going to be able to play the underdog and that no respect card forever. And you look at Arizona State, right. They've been the most disappointing team in the country.
Yeah, what happened?
We're still waiting for them to play well. You know, and they might do it against Utah, and I think that'll be a narrative that
they own them
and his team.
They're 5-0 yeah. against them. There's something there.
Yeah, no, you're right. So I think that's cool. Even if you look at Oregon State, that's going to be an awesome game.
Halloween,
you know, Halloween, the rivalry. I mean, come on, it doesn't get set up any better.
Yeah, and that's the week, of course, after they go to USC. And that's going to be huge. So, I mean, every week, and I don't want to get too far ahead before I ask you about the conference in general, because, you know, we're Utes-centric, obviously. But what else, what other things are percolating that the Utes need to be aware of that before we get too far ahead of our skis here?
Well, I think, you know, SC is real. You know, if they can stay healthy, they're better than everyone, I'd argue, in the country at the skill spots. So that's going to be something, you know, they're just more talented, you know, at the majority of positions. And they've been that way in a lot of games. You know, they obviously lost to Stanford one where, a lot of people would say they shouldn't. I don't think SC's built yet to be that physical early in the season. It'll be fun to see how they mature by the time that matchup goes. I mean, they're playing 13 true freshmen,
wow.
A lot of them on defense. Two at the outside backer position, one in middle backer in Cam Smith. So it'll be fun to watch that part of the Utah game when those two go up against one another.
And, boy, it couldn't have come at a better time for Steve Sarkisian that the focus is back on the field. They play so well last weekend. And Kessler is, you know, he's as advertised.
Yeah, I mean, 15 touchdowns in the first month of the season.
It's
silly.
Ridiculous.
And, you know, I thought – all those reports about Sark, I'm down here about playing for his job, was like the biggest overblown media hyped up fest I've ever heard of. I mean, name one source on any of those reports with anybody that mattered in the athletic
department. But it's Twitter. It's Twitter, though, Yogi. Come on.
Yeah, sure, right.
That's what's
exactly.
wrong with our
and
world.
I heard it from a lot of people, and it was a bummer because it spilled into the narrative around the country. And I'm never a fan of that. Like, I get it if it's worthy, you know, and the team's really struggling. But I'm not cool if they win. We're just saying it to say it. Cause I don't think he's going anywhere, you know, to be perfectly honest.
Right. Okay, so who upsets Utah's bandwagon here? If there's a problem, what happens? And I just want to play the devil's advocate just because I don't want it to happen, but I want to know what to look at. What are you looking for as a way that this could go south for Kyle's kids?
Well, I think they still have to prove they can make plays outside consistently. You know, I mean, they really do. I mean, I love Britton Covey as much as anybody in the slot, but he's still a true freshman, you know, playing that position. He's not going to force anybody to double cover him, right? I mean, you're going
right.
to play your defense. Same thing on the outside. They haven't shown anybody that you're going to say, okay, make sure we really pay attention to this guy. You know, Travis still doesn't scare you with his arms. What scares you is his ability to, you know, make post-snap reads in the QB run game, you know, and him and that beast of a back and Devontae Booker of, oh, my God, we got to stop these two guys. And they're really strong up front. So, to me, the way it goes the other way is if they get down early or they've got to complete third and sevens all day long in the throw game. And that's the recipe to try to beat them. You know, obviously you can't get beat on special teams. All the things that kind of happened, so everything that went wrong, or could have gone wrong, what kind of went wrong for Oregon's sake. Because I don't think they're that bad of a team when you look at the score. You know, they play again. It's probably a closer game. I think Utah is the better team, and they earned that. But that's the thing that I'd be concerned about. You know, Travis is going to have to throw guys open, and they're going to have to make plays on critical downs and distances in the throw game, which he's done. You know, I always go back to the Stanford, late in the game 2 years ago in Salt Lake City, and it's third and nine, backed up, and he completes the snap route out to his left. You know, he's done it before. He's going to have to do that again. And if they get down early, and you look at the teams, Cal can score quickly, ASU can score quickly, SC can score quickly.
Yep.
I mean, those are three explosive teams offensively, and it'll be fun because we've seen the other side of it. I called the Utah ASU game a couple years ago down there, but it just got out of hand early. You know, we all know what SC can do offensively, and we know what Cal can do. So that's the thing for me that I'll be watching, because those guys are good on the outside. Kenny Lawler, Bryce Treggs, Maurice Harris, Trevor Davis, the receiver for Cal, they're legit. Juju Smith-Schuster, probably the best wideout in the nation, and just a beast. The Adoree Jackson, who will be playing more often by then. So that'll be what will be fun to watch.
Yeah, I'm waiting and wondering about Devontae Booker and the offensive line. They're going to have one of those games somewhere where they take over and he takes over. Something's not working and they need to dominate the clock or something. I still think that's going to have to be one of those games. And I don't know where it is. I can't find it on the schedule, but I think there's going to be one of those. Don't you think that so far that offensive line and the combination of that, I mean, Booker's been great, but not, you know, he needs to take over a game.
Well, I think it's hard, you know, because he's the sole focus of every defense. You know, so taking over a game sometimes to me can be taking over practice reps because they're so worried about that game and all of a sudden they're not worried about some new elements and wrinkles in the throw game. You know, it could be taking over and, you know, play action pass with him and Travis and taking a few more shots down the field. So I think that his, you know, that's why I love watching film. There's all these, to me, I call them hidden plays where, oh, because he's in, he's allowed play action pass to work. He's allowing Britton Covey to get behind a backer in front of a safety because the backers they're taking an extra step up normally where they wouldn't. So I don't know if he's going to have, you know, he'll have one of those games because he just is, but it's going to be hard. And, you know, that's going to be the key focus of any team trying to beat Utah.
Yeah. Well, got to cut you loose. I could talk about this stuff for a half an hour, an hour. You do a great job. Keep it up. Keep up the great work at the Pac-12 networks. I know you do so many other things. We had a chance to talk more about it last time. Next time, I promise, I'd like to get into some of your other projects, which are certainly commendable. Yogi Roth, at Yogi Roth on Twitter. Keep up all your good work, and I appreciate you taking a few minutes to join us here on TK in the Midday on ESPN 700 in Salt Lake City.
Anytime. And tonight, in 3 years of doing the drive, my favorite line comes out of Kyle Whittingham's mouth tonight. And you're going to get the chills. It's awesome.
All right.
So
tonight.
Enjoy that.
All right. Tonight, the line of his life from Kyle Whittingham. Okay. Thanks, Yogi, for the heads up.
All right. Later.
Okay. See ya.